Not only brotherly love, not only benevolent care, but finally, we're to have bold sympathy. Go back to Hebrews 13. One last time. We are to have bold sympathy. Hebrews 13, verse 3, the Bible says, well, in verse 1 it says, let brotherly love continue. In verse 2, he tells us to be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. In verse 3, he says, we ought to remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Here's another depiction, I believe, of the closeness that God expects of the family of believers. We are to remember them. We are to be mindful of them, not forget them. Those who are in bonds, who suffer for the cause of Christ, who suffer in general, the Bible says, we are to relate to them and remember them and have compassion for them, just as if the adversity and the suffering were happening to us. Now you think about what God is saying there. He says, just like you were in bonds, just as if you were having adversity, I want you to remember the brethren. I want you to minister to the brethren. I want you to minister to them in prayer. I want you to minister to them in the physical. And it's not always easy, but God says we need to have hearts that reach out to our believing brothers and sisters. We need to have hearts that reach out. Let me tell you something. In today's day where we're all busy, amen? You know, we all have jobs, we all have children, we all have homes, we all have yards, we all have bills, we all have sickness, we all have. But God says there's got to be time for us to remember those who are in bonds and those who are truly suffering adversity, just as if it was happening in our own bodies. He gives us a great example. And I think this is one of the best examples of the connectivity that God expects of the children of God. Look in 1 Corinthians 12, page 848. 1 Corinthians 12. We'll begin at verse number 12. It shows a great picture of the connectivity that God expects of the children of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is the way I believe that God expects that we will be sympathetic one towards another, that we'll understand, we'll feel what others feel, that we'll be able to weep with them and rejoice with them. In 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12, the Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So God now shows us how universal salvation is. And he says, yes, I chose the people in the very beginning, the Jews, but they are not superior in their understanding of the Word of God. They're not going to be treated any differently. God has given all of us an equal opportunity to come and to bow at the cross of Christ and receive Him as our Savior and to live with Him forever. And in that day when He comes, He's going to call all of His children back to Himself. And that's what the Word of God is expressing here. He says, we have all been baptized into one body. Amen. Into one body. Heaven's not going to be a place that's going to be broken down by denominations. It's not going to be broken down by races. It's not going to be broken down by what you made and where you lived, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be one big old place of people who are there for one reason. That is to praise the Lord God, our Father.
Amen.
And what he's saying here in this verse is get ready for it. Get started now. Don't wait to have a brother in Christ until you get to heaven. Let's get on it right now. So he says, we've all been baptized into one body, Jews and Gentile, bond to free, and we all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15. Now here's how he shows us how much we need one another. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if there were, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Now, I'll tell you what, that's something there that's so many people to understand today. You know, people want to say that there are parts of our body that aren't necessary, that we don't need them. You know, they can go in and do surgery and just kind of take certain things out because there's no need of them. Well, I found something very interesting, and I've actually heard this several times before, but I kind of read up on it a little bit. He says here that there are certain things that people might think the feeble things are not necessary, but they're absolutely necessary. Well, have you ever heard of the pituitary gland that we all have in our bodies? Well, they say that this pituitary gland, and I might not be saying that completely correct, but it is about the size of a pea. And it rests at the base of the brain. And this pea-sized gland is a very, very small member of this great big body. Can you imagine that that in my body, please make no comments about size, in my body, that there is a pea-sized gland that has a great deal of power. Now, what do you think this little pea-sized gland controls? It's broken into three pieces. All right, it's already the size of a pea, but even in that, this God that we serve has broken the functionality of this little pituitary gland into three parts. Now, the first part, they say, of this little pea-sized gland produces hormones that deals with growth. You know that if just a little piece of this little pea-sized gland is messed up, we can either grow to be great giants. I mean, to the point that we even grow to the point that it's unhealthy and we can die from just getting so big, or to the point that we never grow at all. One little thing, that same little bitty piece of it also stimulates milk production when ladies have babies. It also stimulates the thyroid to do what it's supposed to do. That's just part of the little pea. It also plays a great big part in reproduction for both the male and the female. Now, the second part of this little pea-sized gland, it's the hormone. It produces hormone that controls skin color. Imagine that, little pea size. And then the other part of that little pea size gland produces the hormones that controls the water absorption into the blood by the kidneys. It also produces the hormone that tells the uterus to contract during childbirth. Little bitty gland. God says they're all important. And if I could relate that to you and I, and this brotherhood that we're all a part of, God says, you're all important. Amen. We're all important. We all have a place whereby we can band together and be bold together and serve God together, no matter how small. Amen. And you can have a great big role in the work of God. A great big role in the work of God. Now, I want to show you a little bit more, and then we'll come back to that. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's pick up at verse number 23. In verse number 23, the Bible says, let me read 22 again to remind you. It says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they're necessary. So we're all necessary. Verse 23 says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, these verses are a little hard to understand. But what God is saying here in verse number 23, he's saying that which is less honorable, And if I could make an illustration, he says, like our feet. You know, we don't like to show our feet off because, you know, our feet, they take a beating and they're all yucky looking and dry skin and the like. He says, our feet are less honorable. So guess what we do? We cover them up. He says, you know, and if other parts of our body are not so suiting to us, we cover it up. He said, those parts which are uncomely, less honorable, he says, we cover those up. And when we cover them up, we make them more honorable. We garnish them. We put on garland and things and we cover it up. He says, but those things that we don't believe require covering, like our faces, he says, those things we don't cover up at all. We're completely content with that. Now let's go back and read that verse again, now understanding what we know about it. In verse number 23 again, he says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow much abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We cover them up. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, look at this. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, God has given us a great illustration. And the illustration is this. He says, all right, you consider it as if it were, as if we were a literal body. He says, if we were a literal body, he says, if one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. In other words, you try to get cancer in your body, in one part of your body, and try to convince the other part of your body that it's not sick at all. He says, you can't do it. Try to get a backache and try to convince yourself that everything else is all right. You can't do it. He says, think about you can get your foot hurt and your foot is going to hinder the whole body from doing what it wants to do. God says, likewise, that's what it's going to be all about. But he says, we need every part. We need every part. And we need to make sure that there are no schisms. That's the word that God used. He says, we need to make sure there's no divisions. There's no gaps. There's nothing that's going to rip us in two. He says, we need to be concerned one for the other. And we need to be bold in our sympathy one for another. So that if one member suffers, we all need to reach out to him and says, brother, sister, I'm here with you. I'm hurting.
Amen.
I weep with you.
Amen.
And if things are going well, I rejoice with you.
Amen.
I'm not jealous.
Amen.
I'm rejoicing.
Amen.
He says, because we need one another.
Amen.
We should have the same care one for another. Look at the picture that God has given to us.
Amen.
He says, the head can't say that it doesn't need the feet.
Amen.
Because they bring him shame. Because the head can't get around without the feet. He says, we're all one, and we should remember those who are in bonds and those who suffer adversity, just as if it were our own issue. We're to remember them. Remember them in prayer. Remember them with our efforts. We're to put our faith into practice.
Amen.
That's good. Let's look at Philippians 2. I think I left that one out of your bulletin, but let's look there anyway. Go to Philippians 2, page 867. You know, God has not asked us to die for our brethren. Not directly, anyway. But he's asked us to do what he would do, to serve and to be obedient to his word. Philippians chapter number 2. Everybody's there but me. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Oops. Beginning at verse number 1, here's what the Bible says. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He says, you see the connection? You see the connection? He says, as if it is your very own adversity, if you're suffering yourselves. He says, look more on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What is God saying to us? Serve. Christ did. Take on the same form. Be bold. Be sympathetic. Meet the needs of others. Bold sympathy. To be able to honor those who are suffering, adversity and in bonds, requires a bold faith. And Paul, writing to Timothy, charged him to be a man who was bold in his faith. And we'll close out here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Page 879 in your pew Bible. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll start reading at verse number 6. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Beginning at verse number 6. Here's what the Bible says. As Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." And I think this is the key. This is the key to our being able to display the evidence of this grace that God has given us, the evidence that we are citizens of this great kingdom which cannot be moved. We've got to know in who we believe. Amen. And Paul wrote, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." Boldness in our faith. Boldness in our faith. Boldness in our sympathy toward one another. Display the evidences of God's grace in our lives. That's what God is calling on us to do. How will we do it? Through brotherly love. Let it continue. How will we do it? By benevolence, by caring for one another, without any expectation that we're going to get anything, that it's going to profit us. He says, if we don't, guess what? We might miss an opportunity to entertain angels even, to be a blessing to someone else who is in need. And then finally, he says, we got to be bold. We got to be bold towards those who are suffering. We need to take it on as if it were our own adversity, our own suffering, as if we ourselves were in bonds. Let's give the world the evidence that we serve the risen Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, so much you've taught us today. So much you've taught me about how I ought to display this grace that you have so freely given to us. Father, I pray today that we might each take on the charge to understand that we are all members of one body. There are many members, yet there is one body. And that we might take on the charge to love one another according to your command, that we might let the word of the love of God abide in us, and that we might display that love as we interact one with another, and that we might love others as we love ourselves, even down to the stranger, Father. That's been your command. I pray that we might be be willing to serve one another. Lord, that we might follow the pattern of Christ, and that you came not to be served but to serve others, to as evidence of this calling that God the Father had placed on your heart. Let us display that same evidence in our lives. And then, Lord, there's so much suffering about us, so much that probably doesn't even get shared because we don't have the confidence to believe that others are going to join us in prayer, that they're going to be compassionate toward us. Father, I pray that we might speak words of great compassion so that we might break down those walls so that believers would never find themselves feeling all alone, that there was nowhere to turn to, that there was no one who could help them to bear those burdens. Father, help us to be burden bearers. Help us to lift up our fellow man. Help us to understand this great opportunity you've given us to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, let us show to a lost world what it means to be a true believer in Jesus Christ. Lord, I love you for all that you've done for me. I love you for all of the examples that you've given to me as to how you expect me to live my life. Help me to live my life for you, I pray. Lord, if there's one who's here, who's listening, who doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray that you might use these words, though intended towards believers today. Lord, I pray that you might use these words to pique their curiosity, to draw them to your word, and to let them see your great love for them. Draw them into a relationship with yourself, Father. I pray for your own glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.